do the extra mile thing for these companies. So now it's time to like do it for myself, so that I can help all these other people.
Welcome to the Greatness Formula Podcast, the ultimate destination for those looking to excel in life, business, and real estate. Join your host, Jamie Allgaier, each week as she brings you conversations with successful real estate agents, business owners, and local influencers. We're all about delivering actionable advice that prioritizes one thing, your success. So let's cut to the chase and dive right in. Your journey to greatness starts now.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Greatness Formula Podcast, where we talk to entrepreneurs and people out there hustling, doing business on a day-to-day basis and find out what makes them tick and what keeps them going. Today, I'm really, really excited to introduce you to my friend, Albert Heising. He is the CEO of Move to Sioux Falls and co-founder of Sodak Stays. He also serves on several community boards. He's on the South Dakota, South Dakota Short-Term Rental Alliance, which is how I met him. Albert, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about what you do and why you got into it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jamie, for having me on. So I'm in real estate. That's kind of a thud question, but or thud answer. But basically, I got into real estate just to get away from like my 8-to-5 job. Started, you know, I was in Sioux Falls and was working at a bank. Hated it. Sorry, Jamie. I know you're in banking. But I just found that I was always working later and later at night. And just thought, man, I could really do something myself. And then COVID happened, and we needed some extra money to pay student loans off. So we rented out our basement, and that's where our first short-term rental actually started, was our basement. Yeah. A couple of friends asked us to manage for them. And then Sodak Stays kind of was created from there. I think it started out as Heising Properties first. Terrible name. and that was 2021. And then me and my wife were on a walk one day, and you know how it goes. You like talk to your significant other and they go, no, we're not going to do that idea. That's stupid. And they shoot down like 900 ideas. And then finally, the one that she said yes to was, hey, I'll become a realtor and help like our clients out. Yeah. And then it kind of morphed into, well, I can help friends and family and help people be educated in real estate as a whole. And that's how I started Move to Sioux Falls. And that was, you know, almost 2 years ago. So it was like 3 years of total real estate craziness, and it's gone by really fast.
Yeah. Yeah. It did. The last few years seems like it just like the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And I think we're so focused. We're always focused on kind of closing dates, and like, we're never quite living today. We're always like the next closing 2 months ahead. We're always planning. So it's really weird to like stop and think about how quick the last couple of years have gone.
If you're a planner, real estate might be the niche for you. So
yeah, for sure. Definitely have to be organized, however.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about like, what do you think so far? Cause I know you're a younger realtor as far as being in the business What do you think the biggest challenge has been for you? Cause you kind of came in at the peak of COVID, like the COVID crazy, we call it, over on the side of the state, because it was wild. You guys saw that too. What's your biggest challenge seeing that go from such a wild crazy to this fall? It slowed down a lot.
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I got involved, it was like 2021, July of 2021. So it was just like peaking, and then it just dropped. Like, I think I did my first deal like a month into real estate because it was so hot. And then all of a sudden, like nothing for like a month or two, right? Just because rates had jumped up. And I think the biggest challenge right now is affordability, right? We have low inventory, high rates, right? So our purchase price is like, it's still fairly inflated, I would say. It's probably going to stay there. But affordability, because like people ask me, when's the best time to buy? And like, 2 years ago, I'd say that's the seller's time to sell. Like, it's not a good time to buy. Right now is a good time to buy, but like that monthly payment, a lot of people can't afford it. Unless, rates drop, and then we're in the whole same craziness of multiple buyers, multiple offer situations. So right now it's definitely the affordability. Oh my goodness, this thing is falling off. My mic is falling. So yeah, I would say like affordability is the biggest thing I've faced so far. And just seeing that huge swing, I think it's a great thing because I know I can out hustle a lot of people. So I actually like, dealing with the hard times first, and then I know like I'll make it through the easy times.
Right. I feel like this time, like this type of time, you learn so much about it. Really gives you a chance to like delve into exactly what you do and why you do it. And like for me, it's loan programs. It's really truly looking at loan programs and going through underwriting guidelines and finding those like, oh, wait a minute, this is kind of a given. Everybody thinks this is the golden rule, and it might not be. So finding those little, like those little extra pieces is kind of, it's
sure.
been my challenge during this a little bit slower time. So it's pretty cool. So what do you think, just as an entrepreneur, what do you think is, what kind of skills do you think give you an edge? I know you said you're a hustler. You're super into social media. You have a website launched. What do you think kind of gives you the edge over maybe somebody who's either been in the business and isn't rethinking their business, or just an edge against other people who are kind of in the same scope of where they're at in business?
Yeah, I think a couple of things come to mind. So number one is when I was growing up, my parents took a chance on real estate, didn't pan out, went bankrupt from the whole crash in 08. So come full circle. I'm a realtor now again. And this mic thing has fallen. We need to pause for a second.
Okay.
So I can fix this. Sorry. We need to cut this
back
on. I don't know why it's giving me such trouble. Okay. We're better. Okay. So where was I? Okay. So my parents took a chance on real estate back in 08. I was in like eighth grade. We went bankrupt from real estate, come full circle. I'm in real estate, right? And at a really early age, I knew like, hey, I gotta be educated on the financial numbers of this thing. It just can't be like, this is a nice house. I wanna buy it because I got pre-approved for $450,000, right? So that's number one, like just growing up, the hustler part came from, having to help my parents pay for just like monthly payment, like all throughout high school. And then, when you get into college and you don't want to have tons of student loan debt, you work through college. And then when I went to the banks, I really understood banking regulation. And then I understood how to do like coordinate things with different people. I was in the payments world in banking, and that is just like the Wild West. And so there wasn't a lot of regulation at first. And then when I got on board in 2017, they were really cracking down on that type of stuff. So you really had to know what was all going on. And then like, I'm always just like thinking ahead. So like 5 years from now, what does it look like? Or what are California and New York doing right now that we're not doing? Because a lot of people in South Dakota are like, I got my little like group of people and I'm good. Like if I can go from 60 deals this year to 65 the next year, you're like, cool. So I always try to think ahead 5 years and just look at other cities and what they're doing. Because I feel like a little bit of our state is stuck in the past a little bit. So
for sure. I always kind of joke with people who are moving here from out of state, like just get ready to slow down and go back about 10 years. Cause it does kind of feel like we're a little bit behind sometimes in some of those things. So
I'm okay with it though.
I am too for sure. So like you said, you look forward and you're looking at those larger areas and what's working and what's not working. What do you see as potential roadblocks coming up for our industry or just in general?
That's a tough one. I think a lot of agents are going to start. Well, I would say just like the industry as a whole. There's like we talked about, there's a lot of short form video out there that I'm not seeing a lot of people do here. That's kind of something I've taken on where I'm like, hey, I'm going to build this up for it. It takes like 2, 3, maybe 4 years to build it up. No better time than starting right now, to do it. I think a lot of agents are going to struggle with that. I know during the COVID years, like that was probably the time to like really start doing video and getting your socials up to date. And just like harnessing that power. I don't know why a lot of agents here in this state have reverted back, I think. And it's not just like, hey, I show my house on social media. Like no one cares about that. They care about you and if they can trust you. And if you're not putting your brand and your face with that brand, they're going to pick someone else, plain and simple.
Yeah. We talk a lot about that. We do, where I'm at, we do weekly coaching and, we go out and I mean, that's one of the things that we're not forced to do it, but we're encouraged to go out and look at what people in our industry are doing or maybe not doing in personal branding, not branding for the bank that I work for, but personal branding about what we love and what makes us tick and what, helping other people grow and that kind of thing. That's really, and COVID kind of perpetuated that almost. I mean, I think social media was already on its way to being huge anyway, but COVID definitely that like 2-year time frame really just fast forwarded, I think, for a lot of people. And they were like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And, you know, like I have a 17-year-old daughter and she's all over social media and she doesn't participate a lot, but she watches a lot. And it's interesting watching her pick certain brands because she's done the research on them and pick certain places in town to go to because she feels like she support, like it's a more of a supporting the company, not and the person who owns it versus, yeah. Ooh, that's a cool house. What you said is very, very true. And we're definitely seeing that more and more for sure. What do you think, what was the turning point in your career? Like you said, you were in payment processing and I know we talked about that a little bit, but what was kind of the final, like, I don't want to do this anymore. Cause there's gotta be a story there.
Yeah. So it like I talked about the walk and like the idea of it. Mm-hmm. And like, we had just like found out we were pregnant and then we had got an investment property. And so like, we're juggling, you know, hey, we're starting a family. We're running our own business. Kayla had, you know, left from the Sioux Falls Chamber of Commerce already. And was like, man, I'm working like 8 to 5 or 8 to 7. And then I got to go like set up this investment property. And it's just like, you know, I'd like to call my own shots. Yeah. I've always been that type of person. And obviously I was like, my wife's like, you got to study for the test then if you want to become a realtor. And so like every night, 7 to 11 studied. Yeah. And then anytime I could, you know, once we got that investment property done too, like that was just, I don't know how we were alive. I'm glad I was only like 26 or 27 when that was all happening.
Yeah.
But like that was the true turning point. I would say it was January of 2022. I started the license. We were going through buying our investment property. And it was just like, dude, I know that I always will work late to make everything right. Like treat people right. Do the extra mile thing for these companies. So yeah. Now it's time to like do it for myself. So that I can help all these other people. So, yeah, COVID was monumental, but I would say like that full, hey, I want to go full time. My wife did say though, she's like, you can't leave your job until you sell a house. Well, I got a friends from college who they were like, hey, we heard you got your license. We totally love to use you. And I literally like showed one house. It was like, hey, hon, I put in a month's notice, like just, I'll have a sale soon. You know, we'll close in 30 days for sure. Well, they didn't end up buying that house, but like a week later we found the right house. So we did close like right after I quit. So it was all good.
Nothing like a little pressure, right?
Oh yeah. Pressure cooker, but it was a hot market until after that one. So
do you leverage any mentors or coaching or networking opportunities? I know a lot of us in this industry are involved in 500 different networking groups and, you know, we do weekly coaching. I know a lot of people in our industry who are really trying to build their business are doing coaching. or some sort of mentorship? What have you found that helps you?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things, right? When I first started, I'm still with Keller Williams, but I was on a team. That team was awesome. They just like had a great onboarding program, taught me about where to get your leads from, to do lead genning, how to do cold calling, how to do everything. I looked at 100 houses. After my first deal, I looked at 100 houses, previewed them, understood the square footage, understood every neighborhood before even like selling my next one. So that was like a really good onboarding program that I went through. And then I'm not a huge B&I guy because I do think sometimes they get a little surface level, with like, hey, let me just help you to help me kind of thing. So I actually started, it's called High Value People Society, where we just meet every other Tuesday. And it's just like, we go over our GPODs, like what we're grateful for, what we're pursuing, what we're addressing or need, like an ask. And it doesn't have to be business related. Like somebody asked to like, hey, I'm looking for a skid loader and like to just like plow a driveway. Like some guy needed help. Like, does anyone have one? And like my insurance guy was like, hey, yeah, I know a guy who just bought one and you know, I'll, you know, send them your way kind of thing. So we started that group. There's about 20 people in it. And then I just recently, the last 3 months ago, like Mayor Paul here in Sioux Falls, like went to Dort. So I wrote him a letter. I wanted him to be my mentor. So he's been mentoring me at least once a month. We meet. So it's been great. And like, that's what's cool about Sioux Falls is it's big enough that like what you do impacts the community. And it's small enough to be like, hey, I could just write a letter to the mayor and probably get to sit down with him. Right. So, those are three things. The biggest thing I would say is just like whatever, like religious belief or like values you have, like go over them. Like every day I do my devotional. And I just like, I wait to get pulled in from people until after like 6:30. So when I get up at 5, it's me and my wife go on a walk and I go over my devotional and I'm just like getting like I'm pushing to do my things first to set my day up right to be able to be like, hey, I have an abundance mindset. I can help out with anything and everything that comes up. So
because if you wait until after, it's like 9 o'clock and it doesn't.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's something that definitely several people have mentioned, like make sure that you're cutting out time for yourself. And it feels, if you're not used to doing that, it feels kind of weird and
or selfish. Yeah. You're like,
yeah, it feels selfish person. Like getting out and taking a walk is mentally, it's good for you mentally. It's good for you physically. And it just kind of gets you started in the morning and doing something like your devotional or like for me, it's either connecting out in the community or it's getting a chance to do some artwork, creative.
That's awesome.
And that kind of thing. On top of reading a devotional, kind of diving into what it means to me. And, but people who don't take the time for that, it's really odd. It's like you said, it almost feels like selfish. Like, and I think people in this industry, we give and we give and we give and we're always on someone else's schedule kind of. So to cut that time is really, really, really important. Speaking of that, do you have podcasts or certain authors, books that you like to read? What kind of fills your brain there?
Yeah, that is awesome. So whenever I'm driving to, whether it's downtown to the co-working space or, you know, I'm maybe rowing on a Thursday, like I always try to listen to a podcast a day. I listen to a lot of Ed Milet. He writes the book, The Power of One More. I haven't read the book yet. I it's still on my list. Just like motivational self-help stuff. But I have been trying to get into like Overstepping Poverty is another one. I try to have that be like my mindset stuff. And then on books, I will go back and forth, right? So I'll go, hey, I need to read like a fictional thriller book so that I'm like, holy cow, this is interesting. Or that was so stupid. I'm going to go read a self-help book next. And then I just, every other, I just swap because I get to, and I won't do audiobooks because my mind is always thinking about something else if I'm doing audiobooks. So those are my podcasts and the books. And then I would say my, like, I just read it, but my number one book that just got my mindset right was The Go-Giver. Making value for people before they even know they need it, and giving it away for free because it's going to come back to you. You don't know the how, right? If you ask the how, you're just like, that's like the lacking mindset. Like, you just got to understand, if I do, you know, the five rules, and like, there's so many, it's like, be authentic, you know, like, give without thinking you're going to receive, like, the result usually happens. Just some really good things. Like, there was this metaphor in it. It's like 2 + 2 = 4, right? And like, if I call 100 people to cold call, I'll probably get, like, I think the stats is like 1 out of, let's say, 100, right? Well, maybe it's 100, right? 1 out of 100 or 10 out of 1,000. Those are like data points you can see. But then, like, being nice and having generosity is kind of random, and you're like, why would you do this? Why would you give $100 let's just use Jamie and give her like an awesome picture for $100 and you don't expect anything in return? Well, how the world is made up of atoms, they're all just randomly colliding into each other, but then we have all this world, and you're like, how does that happen? And so I just think of it like that, is like, that's what generosity and like being a go-giver is. So it just like changed my mindset. It's like, it's random, and you don't know how it works, and I always just think it's by God's grace. But that book kind of changed my mentality 2 weeks ago, and then I had to read the second book. So that would be a big one to add on people's book lists,
people's to read. I just wrote that down, so I'll have to go find that one. I kind of do the same thing as you do, where you have to go back and forth in between. Like, I love a good story that kind of takes you out of right now, and like, it's just a story that's kind of silly and whatever, but then coming back to something that can impact business or impact the people around me. Mm-hmm. But too much of that, and I'm just like, okay, I need a break. So
I'll send it to you.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd love to read it. Yeah. I'm a note taker, so if you don't want notes, if you want the book back.
No, you're good. I've made it my mission to buy like 10 of them and then just give them out and then get another 10. Cause it's something, it's literally a 3 to 5 hour read. It's a story, and it's like a self-help book. So it's been awesome. Really good.
Yeah. That sounds like a great book. I'm excited to read that. So tell me, if looking back, to a younger time, if you were to give yourself advice, say as a 21-year-old or a 25-year-old, what would you tell yourself?
Dude, that was only like 4 years ago, or 9 years ago. So, but
your whole life has changed in those 4 or 5 years, though.
I know. You're right. I tell people that a lot in Sioux Falls. Like, out of the 10,000 days I've lived, like, the 2,000 I've lived in Sioux Falls has just been like drastically changed. I think maybe that's what I would tell myself, is just like, hey, life is short. You don't understand how quickly things can change around. And like, back when I was 21, 22, getting out of college, you're just like, what do I do with my life? I think my life is like over. I graduated not knowing what I wanted to do after college. And just like telling myself to just like dive into anything. You're getting tools in your toolbox, and something will come along. I think the guy who ran KFC, he didn't come up with the idea until after he was 70. So it's just like, it's okay. Like, you're young still. You got so much time to figure out something and just grab those tools along the way, because maybe you're not ready for the right opportunity that's out there for you.
Yeah. Give yourself some grace for like just being alive and being a human. We all end up in situations that we wish we could go back to, but I love that. So what piece of advice would you give someone who, like, if someone came to you and said, I really want to go out on my own, but I'm really scared, what advice would you give them?
I would say you got to weigh the pros and cons. So I'm actually, so when I am on, I'm a mentor for SCORE and we're partnered with the, SBA here. And I still have them on my team, a content marketing consultant. And she was an intern, graduated early, and said, "Hey, I think I'm going to get a job full time. I was working part time in college and doing your internship. Like, what should I do? Like, what am I going to go get?" And I was like, "Well, have you thought about like being an entrepreneur yourself?" And she's like, "Oh no, I couldn't do that." And I was like, "Well, why not? You like rock my stuff and you're awesome at it." And she's just like, "Well, I'm not sure like how much money I can make. Like, I am not sure about that." So I was like, "Well, one way I did it was we like I had an 8-to-5, Kayla had an 8-to-5, and then like we slowly built our business up. Then Kayla left. We slowly like built our business up more, and I went into real estate and I left that piece." So it's just like know what you want to do first or try it out, but also like if you're scared about the financial piece, maybe have something that gives you flexibility to work 7-to-3 or 8-to-4, and then like work your side hustle with like one or two clients. And then if you can keep taking more on, take more on, and then like tell the business, like straight up, I told my business, like, "Hey guys, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm passionate about." And they were like, "Dude, you work like 10 hours a day for us. I don't know how you do this, but we see your passion and we want you to go do it." Like and that's like what you need to find with employers too, while you're trying to build both, is that they give you flexibility to go live your dream because you're helping them with their dream right now. And if they just understand that, like it just changes the conversation, when you go into those interviews, right? If you're looking for a job.
That's a great perspective. I love that. So, anything else you want to share before we wrap up? We've got about 5 minutes left, and I'll just give you time to talk about if you have something you want to point out, or you have some words of wisdom for somebody who's in this space and nothing
In
like
this,
the spot, right?
yeah, no, that's fine. I think in this space, it gets really, really tough, right? The biggest thing I would say, wake up early, protect your time, learn to say no. Like some people will be like, "Hey, can you go check this out for me on a Sunday?" Like Sunday's off limits. Like some of my clients choose me because I like have some good religious values. So just stand firm in those, and then get really, really dialed in and understanding or being in other people's shoes. For example, I would get so irritated when someone would be like, "Hey, we're gonna put this offer in," and they sign everything, and then we get a counter, and they're like, "Ah, I don't really want this place," and I'm like, "Dude, we already put an offer in, and we're only like $4,000 countered, like up or down, right?" You're like, "Why are you backing out? Like, it's not a huge deal." And then my wife, like, she was like, "If you just put yourself in the other person's shoes," and the go-giver talks about this, like, what's going on in their lives? Just like ask a couple of questions, and like come to find out, like this, person didn't do the greatest job, like explaining to his spouse, "Hey, we're doing this." And she felt a little bullied. So then it was like, man, I would never want my wife to feel that like that. So like if I was in his shoes, I would totally back out, right? Like, so I would say that those are the key pieces, is like protect your time, wake up early, learn to say no, and then be in the other person's shoes. And then it just changes your mindset of, hey, everything's gonna work out. We're giving them the right time to make a purchase. So yeah, that words of wisdom, that's what I would do on that piece. So networking is huge. You gotta network. You gotta, and you don't have to, you can cold call, you can, do that type of stuff, but I think just having good business relationships with people just goes a long way. Because people will be like, "Hey, I didn't use this dude, but he's a good dude," right? Like people, like reputation, I think, is everything as well. So, but
Awesome.
yeah, that's kind of what Yeah, you kind of put me on the spot. I know I went on some tangents there,
That's
but
okay.
hopefully that
It's
was
your
all good
tangent.
information.
Yeah, absolutely. Albert, thank you so much. You guys will link links to Albert and what he does, movetosiouxfalls.com. It's a great website to check out, and many of the things that he's involved in. We'll link that in our bio and in the descriptions. I just want to thank you for joining us today at the Greatness Track or the Greatness Tracker. We use Greatness Trackers in my office at the Greatness Formula Podcast. And I hope you'll keep coming back. And just remember to do the hard thing first. There's magic on the other side.
And that's a wrap on another episode of the Greatness Formula Podcast. A big thank you to all our guests and, of course, to you, our listeners, for tuning in. Remember, you can always find more episodes and resources at www.greatnessformulapodcast.com. If you found value in today's show, please consider subscribing, rating, and sharing with someone who could benefit from these insights. Your support helps us bring you more content aimed at making you unstoppable on your path to greatness. Keep striving, keep thriving, and remember, the formula for greatness starts with you.